Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth. Thank you for this gathering and this assembly. Thank you, Lord, for gathering and assemblings like this all over town, all over eastern Oklahoma County this morning. We do not gather anymore out of religious ritual or to pay our weekend homage to God. Lord, we gather to be equipped and increased, to not just receive for ourselves, but to receive enough to give it all away. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up and say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. The most humble thing I can do is agree with God. And he says, in Christ, I am righteous, redeemed, reconciled, and restored. I am blood-bought, anointed and empowered, and I am adopted, alive and a brand new creation. Amen. You're not who you used to be. We're going to continue our brand new series this morning on Awaken Unto Righteousness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Awaken unto righteousness. That sounds like we already are righteous. We need to awaken to the truth. Amen. He didn't say go out and try to become righteous. Awaken unto righteousness. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. It doesn't say some things. All things have become new. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Everybody agree? That's past tense. Has reconciled us. That has happened. Are we living like it? Are we living like we have been reconciled to God? Or are we living like we're trying to get reconciled? Come on. I know we say one thing. I know we say what we believe. But we want our actions and the fruit of our lives to reflect what we say is true. So he has now, we're so reconciled, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Would he give you the ministry of reconciliation if you weren't reconciled? No, he wouldn't. So you must be reconciled. Verse 19, what is it? Well, it's this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then, everybody say now, right now, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you, we literally beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. Now who's God have to carry this ministry out? Who's he have? Us. Okay, so you're it. You're in the drawer. You're who he's using. You're who God has. We're not praying, oh God, please send somebody else. You're here. Verse 21. For God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Did Christ become sin on the cross? Did that happen? Yeah, and we believe that. We understand that and the remission of sin and the full payment. How come we can't believe that equally as true is that you became righteous in him? You believe he became sin. You became the righteousness of God in Christ. Everybody say, I'm clean. So the revelation of the new creation is imperative. The new creation revelation has got to hit the church. I'm going to say it again. The new creation revelation has got to hit the church in America. Where has this message been in the church in America? I have a good friend who's part of an evangelical church in Hera. And he, several years ago, he was teaching Sunday school class. And he started teaching 2 Corinthians 5:21 in this evangelical church. He was teaching them in that class that they were righteous in Christ. Well, the leadership caught wind of it and they fired him. They fired him. You cannot tell these people they're right with God. If you tell them that, they'll quit working towards righteousness and holiness and right standing with God. So they fired him, and listen, they sent him to the teenagers class. Praise God. God just said, okay, we'll just tell the next generation how righteous they are. Now that literally happened in a town 10 miles from here. And I promise you it's happened in this town. Where is the new creation revelation in the body of Christ? How many of you know the day I figured out I really was right with God, that I actually had been made clean and right and close and indwelt by Him, I lived a whole lot holier in that revelation than I did when I was trying to get there in my own effort. Amen, somebody? So by definition of new creation, do we not all agree if we're not who we... Well, let me say it this way. If I'm a new creation, I'm not who I used to be. By definition. If I'm a brand new species, and that's literally what it means in the Greek, I became a brand new species, then I can say I am not the person I used to be. I am a new creation. How many of you were unrighteous? How many of you were sinners? Okay, if I've been made new, I'm not that anymore. Amen. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not unrighteous anymore. I'm not unholy anymore. I'm not all those things anymore. Well, then if you're not a sinner, why do you commit sin from time to time? It's just residue from the previous administration. Just leftovers. My spirit is not sinning, I promise you. Well, you've been made right in your spirit, man. How many of you know your body didn't get born again? Your spirit man got born again. If you received Christ and you were bald and weighed 200 pounds, you came out of the altar, still bald, still 200 pounds, your spirit man had been made new. Amen. Amen, somebody. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Paul writes, and such were some of you. He didn't say you used to do those things, but you still are those things. You used to do them, but now you don't do them anymore. He said, you were those things. Now you have a new identity. Look, he said, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Everybody say, I'm a new creation. The revelation of new creation leads to all kinds of empowerment and sanctification and holiness in your life. Righteousness in root only can produce righteousness in fruit. Not you trying to chase righteous fruit as a sinner branch. You've got to be a righteous branch abiding in righteousness. The byproduct of that union becomes righteous fruit. And what we've done is we tried to make righteousness the basis of our relationship with the vine. It's not the basis of it, it's the byproduct of it. You were never going to be able to do enough to make yourself right with God. The only righteousness and holiness, and this makes sense to you, that would be acceptable to God would be from Him. Not human self-effort. And we'll get into that, how righteousness produces sanctified, set-apart lives. Let's look at this. This was from 5 a.m. on August the 9th. The Lord speaking to me about Grace Church said, awaken unto your true identity. Arise to who I say you are. You're not an unrighteous being trying to be righteous. I'm not asking you to be something you're not. I'm admonishing you to be who I've put in you to be who I say you are, to be who I created you to be. Your enemy wants to deal with your behavior. I want to deal with your beliefs about how you see yourself. God is dealing with the church in America about faith, about belief. Why don't you believe the things that I say about you? Why don't you receive that I have come to live inside of you? That you're a house fit for a king because of Christ's blood. And guess who moved in? The king did. And if the king is in my spirit is righteous. It's absolutely righteous. He says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. He wants to deal with what you believe to be true about yourself. Religion wants to deal with your behavior. God wants to deal with your belief systems that create wrong behavior. Amen. It's all about belief. Are you seeing it? I mean, can you see that? It's all about what do you believe to be true? Who's the source of information you're using to determine what's true about you? Is it your behavior? Is it your feelings? Is it what Johnny said? The source of truth is God and His Word. Therefore, be careful what self-views and definitions you allow into your heart and mind. Be careful who and what you let define you. Do they line up with me? Do they line up with my words about you? If you'll but awaken unto your righteousness in me, tremendous empowerment awaits. Amen. Reminds me of God in the garden when he said, who told you you were naked? In other words, who have you been listening to? Who's sourcing you? Because I never told you that. So God's asking the church today, who told you you're not clean? Who told you you're dirty? Who told you you're unrighteous? So as I mentioned before, widespread revival doesn't start with us begging God to come down here and do something. Can you imagine prayers where we're praying fervently to try and convince God to come down here and do something? And he's like, I already came. And I cleansed the temple, you, the original temple. I sent my Holy Spirit, my very Spirit, to you. The Holy Spirit has never left. Why are you begging me to come down there? Amen. Revival starts when we simply believe who he says we are. We just dare to believe who he says we are, no matter how good it is. Revival begins when we quit living subject to everyone and everything outside of us. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You'll never face anything outside of you bigger than who's inside of you. And the church has grown tired of living dependent lives on all our circumstances and situations and other people's opinions so we can be happy. Lord, please fix everybody, change every situation so I can be happy, because my happiness doesn't come from you, Lord. It comes from everything out here. Thank you, Lord. He's helping us. The good news is there's been a shift this summer. Amen. There's been a shift this summer. In the body of Christ here in Eastern Oklahoma County. People are starting to partner with God. Not just on Sundays, but actually through the week. Imagine feeding on Christ through the week. People are actually not just getting in the Word on Sunday. People aren't just praying on Sunday. People aren't just worshiping for an hour on Sunday. This is happening, church. People are partnering with God through the week. People are deciding, you know what, my life is really not mine. It's the Lord's. Things are starting to make sense to us. Things are starting to click in the Spirit. New revelation is coming to us. This is what's happening right now. Remember when the goal of Sunday morning was just try to get to church on time without killing your spouse or your children? The whole goal of Sunday morning was, I got to get there. I hope I don't kill anyone on the way. Honey, I thought you were getting the kids ready. No, you said you were going to get them up. Oh, my gosh. That's what Sunday morning was all about. And we drag in, we drag our tired selves in, probably thinking about what we just said we shouldn't have said, or what we did Saturday night we shouldn't have done. We lay our stuff down in the pews, and then we raise our hands, and we pay our weekend homage to God. Totally defeated, totally distracted. Well, those days are gone. Go ahead and clap your hand. Those days are gone. We're coming here with purpose and intention. We've been stripped of the idea of religious duty. I'm not here punching a card. Amen? Amen. Even in our giving, there's purpose and intention. We're no longer just, you know, box chunking. Well, it's my religious duty here. No, I want to advance the kingdom of God in the earth, and I'm even going to use his finances he's provided me to sow into it. Purpose and intention. We come to church to be transformed, to be equipped, to be empowered. We're not just trying to get here so we can get to church on time. The goal was just, I gotta get to church. You're not getting to church. You are the church. You are the church. So you come and you gather with like-minded believers to be equipped and empowered and transformed, to be stirred by the Holy Spirit and, inside each other to quit living outside in lives. To be reminded, hey, I've been transformed inside. I'm living inside out. Amen. To be reminded, this is such a good point, of what really matters. Why do we let things that don't matter, everything outside of us, become matter more than what's inside of us? We need to be reminded of that. That we understand we've received the Spirit of God, the nature of God, the Word of God, the Kingdom of God. We've received the person of God. We're not trying to do church. We're not trying to just get to church without hurting anybody. We are the church. And we are becoming more and more the church, His church, on a regular basis. The Lord lit me up so much about this. He said, put it on the screen so they can see it. Why do we come to church? Well, we're coming to be transformed. We're here to be equipped. We're here to be increased, and we're here to be encouraged. We come to make sure we're still focused on Christ and that we're feeding on Christ every day. Gone are the days that we come to church to get fed. We come to church to get reminded that we're going to feed through the week so we can feed everybody else. We're here to feed others. Amen. Matthew 9:35-38, Jesus looked out on the mass of people and he was filled with compassion. He said, they all look like sheep with no shepherds. What's the issue? We need more shepherds. We need more feeders. And the body of Christ has just been self-centered, and we feed and we feed and we feed and we feed, and we're the most well-educated Christians, the most well-taught Christians the world has ever seen. I think there's more to Christianity than being well-taught. We want to live out the truth. So we're coming, yeah, to be fed. Why? So we can feed others. I'm not here to get enough just for me. I want to get enough for those that God sends me to. And I'm not just going to feed on Sunday either. We're here to make sure we're walking in truth and there's no false realities or lies creeping in. How many of you think that's a good reason to come? To be given to a community of believers who love God and want to transform their region. That sounds like a worthwhile cause. There is no power, no backing whatsoever in, well, I want to go to a church so we can grow our membership. There is no power in that. Now, you say, I want to be given to a community of believers, like-minded and like-hearted, who want to transform the earth to look like heaven. That sounds like a cause to me. There's backing in that. There's the power of God in that, because that's His desire. Where in Scripture does it say, hey, you guys get together and see how many members you can get? That's nowhere in there. He never even said in the Bible to make church members. He said, make disciples. Amen. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's what He said. We come to church to receive, but we come to give as well. We come to be reminded what and who really matters. We come to make sure our eye is single. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. That word pure is single. They shall see God. Thank God we don't have to just see God on Sunday morning at 9. You can hang out with Him all week long. Do you see how church is shifting? You see the difference? And yeah, it's not as widespread as we'd like, but we're not waiting around for everybody else to get it. We're going to do it. Is that fair? We're going to do it. We know what the truth is. We're accountable to it. So coming to church should lead to us being the church. Coming to church is not an end. Coming to church should lead to being the church. We like to come to church to remember our hearts are no longer for sale. You guys need to be reminded of this. Your hearts, every day of the week, are no longer for sale to people and things and circumstances outside of you. You come to be reminded, I have a no vacancy sign on my heart. There's no more room for me to love something or someone more than Him who's already in here. Go ahead, give Him praise. Our hearts belong to Him and Him alone. We've been bought with a price. I got a no vacancy sign. My heart is no longer for sale. Amen. Hey, football season's coming up and my heart, I'm saying it again, is not for sale. Amen. Boy, I got quiet. Did you see that? Did you sense that, Kyle? Yeah, a little brush back there. Even during football season, your heart is not for sale. Amen. Amen. The world can't conquer a heart that's already conquered. The world can't come in and start filling with its dogma a heart that's already filled. No vacancy. So church is also a great place to come look in the mirror. The mirror is God's Word. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, not just some, all of us, with unveiled face. Do you realize He has unveiled your face? I mean, are you aware of that? You're His bride. He has unveiled your face, church. Stand in the mirror and look pretty. But we all, not just some, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. What do we see when we look in the mirror, guys? What do we see? the glory of the Lord. It does not say age spots. It says the glory of the Lord. And because of it, we're being transformed to the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Sister Mary had a word. I held it till just now because the Lord wanted me to share it with you. The Lord said what she saw as we were worshiping was the church looking at Christ. And he said, only when you can see who I am can you really see who you are.
Thank you, Lord.
Only when you know me can you know you. So we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the living God. How many of you were able to speak truth in the mirror this week? I'm being honest now. Few of you? Yeah. You walk by that mirror and you catch yourself. Whoa, and come, I'm taking a closer look. You look beautiful. You're amazing. You're radiant with the glory of God. I can see the Spirit of God all over His creation. Amen.
Amen.
That's a lot better than saying that other stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Honey, how do I look in this? Then you say, well, it doesn't matter because I see the glory of God all over me. I make this suit look good. I make this tie look good. You think I'm joking, but you gotta start seeing the truth in that mirror. And stop waiting for everybody else to encourage you. Ladies, stop waiting for everybody else to say you're beautiful. You start saying how beautiful you are. You start saying how righteous and good you look in that mirror. You start recognizing the glory of God is all over you. I can see you love Jesus Christ, and I can see He's madly in love with you. It's all over your face. I can see it. If you can see it, you can be it. So the enemy locks you in darkness so you never see who you really are. Because that's a principle. If a human being can see it, we can be it. So this cat right here, guess what happened to him? He has awakened unto righteousness. That's what that is. Cat looks in the mirror, sees a lion. He's been awakened unto righteousness. So the cat is who we are in Christ. Or sorry, who we are without Christ. The lion is who we are with Christ. This is who I am in Christ. So I'm going to say again, humility doesn't mean you never have anything good to say about yourself. Humility says, my opinion of me doesn't matter. My opinion of me bows the knee to God's opinion of me. He made me. He knows what I'm all about. Amen. You realize that's humility for you to admit God knows more about you, your value, your quality, and your beauty than you do. You need to repent of pride and self-centeredness. And stop arguing with Him. Stop building cases against God's truth based on your feelings or what your natural eye can behold. Woo, that was by the Spirit right there. That was by the Spirit. If you don't start where He finished, you'll always be chasing a place of right standing with God that's already yours. You already have it in Christ. And if you're chasing a place of being right with God instead of living from a place of being right with God, you're going to be rendered ineffective in ministering to others. How are you going to carry out the ministry of reconciliation if you don't even know if you're reconciled? Or if you think one day I am reconciled and another day I'm not? You're not going to be able to help anybody. The moment you set out to go become something, you just told yourself you're not something. And if you told yourself you're not right with God, you are not believing the truth. Because you are right with God in Christ because of what He has done. Think about that. Think of how much self-righteousness. Now I'm talking about self-based righteousness exists in the church. And we're even a church that amens the truth. But how many of you know we need to walk out the reality too? We need to walk out what we say we believe. Now, where did Christ finish? Well, He finished making you right with God. That's what He did. He unveiled your face. You're a bride. Stand before Him as love and look beautiful. That's what you do. Unveiled your face. Made you His bride. Stand before Him in His love and look beautiful. Look at Colossians chapter 1. This is the NIV, verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. How many of you are still there? Enemies of God in your mind because of your behavior. Because of your behavior. Because we get duped all the time to using behavior as truth. You don't determine truth. You're not God. You only get to discover truth as a human being. And when you do discover it and you dance with it, you become free. Does that make sense? Behavior may be a fact, but it may not reflect truth. Human behavior can reflect the belief in a lie. Human behavior can reflect, in that sense, the truth that we believed a lie. We were deceived. Verse 22, but now. Everybody say, but now. He has reconciled you. There it is again. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you. Now, hold on, everybody. Look at this. Holy in his sight, without blemish in his sight, and free from accusation. What's our job then? Just believe it. Please believe it. Man, who wouldn't want to know this? What lost person wouldn't want to receive this truth? Why have we been so ineffective at conveying the gospel to the lost? Because we don't believe it. You can't convey very well something you yourself don't even believe. But this is what he's done. God made him who knew no sin to become sin, that the humans might be made the righteousness of God. It's the offer's on the table. What do? Pick it up. Amen. Receive it. It's like God laid a million cash right here. And he did it for everybody. Everybody can have a million cash. It's right there. Am I saying everybody's saved? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's inviting you to come pick it up. Amen. Boy, that is powerful, isn't it? Jesus has done it all. We just need to believe it. All you can do is humbly agree. Humbly agree. I'm holy in his sight. That's what you need to say when you look in the mirror. I'm without blemish. I'm free from accusation. Shut up, devil. Come on. Shut up, devil. I'm free from accusation. I don't have to listen to your garbage. And all you can base it on is some behavior I did. When the whole reason I did that behavior is because I believed a lie. That behavior does not reflect the truth about me. Boy, it's powerful. There's an anointing on this house to preach this message. There's an absolute anointing on this church to preach this message. You can feel it. It's tangible. So all you can do is humbly agree that we're these things. We sure don't say, well, not without me, he didn't. He didn't make me holy without my help, by God. I'm without blemish. Yeah, he did some things, but look what I've done too to make myself not blemished. No, we don't struggle with that. That's the other side of the spectrum. There are people that struggle with it, but not us. Our struggle is the other side of pride. Pride in limousine says, I'm incredible, I'm amazing. Yeah, God may be holy, but not without my help. That's God in a tuxedo. Pride in a tuxedo. Pride dressed in rags says, I'm no good. I'm terrible. I'm unholy. I'm unrighteous. All these things God says you are, and yet you're still self-centered. That's why you can't say you're right with God. Because you have a self-based righteousness. So it's pride dressed in rags. I'm no good. I'm just a sinner. I'm a terrible person. It's pride, 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 pride. All you got to do is recognize what the first word of every one of those sentences is. I'm no good. I'm terrible. I'm ugly. I'm unworthy. All those things. Pride looks to self for righteousness. Pride worships at the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. I'm going to take Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I just don't believe that about me. Well, while you're not believing it, you're missing out on the truth about you. You're missing out on the truth about you. You're living a false reality. You're living a lie. You're missing out on freedom. I just don't believe that about it. Okay, well, the whole while you're not believing it, you're missing out on being free in Christ. Well, I'm worried about your behavior. Well, or my behavior. Your behavior gets a whole lot better if you'll believe the truth about yourself. It doesn't say you believe the truth, you'll go find sin and bondage. He said if you'll believe the truth, you'll know the truth, it'll set you free from all that. Woo, that's powerful. It'll set you free from all that. What about my behavior? What about your belief about yourself? Woo, this is powerful. Man, I want to take off running right now. Who's with me? Who wants to form a Jericho chain? Just take off running. Church could use a little bit of enthusiasm. Do you know the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek words entheos, which means into God. People who are into God should be enthusiastic, not frozen chosen. Not. Amen, somebody. Amen. But Pastor Steve, my parents told me that I was this and I was that and I was terrible. I'd never amount to anything. Well, if what they told you is contrary to who God says you are, they're wrong.
That's right. That's right.
And if what you believe about yourself is contrary to what God says about you and all these scriptures I showed you, how holy and blameless and free from accusation and righteous you are, then you're wrong. If you believe those other things about yourself and not what God says, you're wrong. Because you're not God, and you're going to have to humble yourself and start agreeing with the truth. Can I say again, revival just happens when the church dares to agree with what God says. That's when revival happens. Come on, clap your hands. Well, my boss said, well, my ex-girlfriend said, my ex-wife said, let God be true and every other man a liar. That's in the Bible. Let God be true and every man a liar. Acts 10:15, don't call unclean what I have made clean. So the enemy builds his case around you. The enemy builds his case around your behavior. The enemy builds his case around self. The enemy builds his case around Adam. God builds his case around Christ. Let's look at Romans 5:17. We tried to get here last week, man. We're struggling to get here again. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense, that was Adam, death reigned through that one man. How much more? Please underline that in your Bible. How much more will those who earn receive abundance of grace? How do you get grace? Receive it. If there's a million on the stage, you just walk over and receive it and say, thank you, I will take it. Yeah. Who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. What is it? A gift. Those people will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's through one man's offense, that's Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. We got that from Adam. Even so, through one man's righteous act, Jesus Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Who can have it? Everybody. Everyone. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Somebody say new creation. New creation. In Adam, I was born a sinner. If I got born into sin, I got to be born out of it. And Jesus Christ, when I accepted his life, his spirit, I got his righteousness, his love. I got everything. I got it all. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not working for things that his presence has already brought me. When you got him, what did you not get? So three steps to victorious living. God's grace, free gift of righteousness, and the person of Jesus Christ. What he's saying here is a tale of two races. Adam brought humanity sin and death. Jesus Christ brought us righteousness and life. Jesus is called the second Adam. Why? Because he wasn't born with an earthly father. You see how God bypassed us so he could introduce another Adam born of his spirit. Conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. So he's the second Adam, and thank God he got it right. Yes. Amen. Yes. Maybe because he wasn't married. Hey, easy. That was just a joke. God, I'm an equal opportunity picker. I'll do it here in just a second. God is reversed in the second Adam, the mess that the first Adam created. And guys, before you blame Eve and all the women, it wasn't until Adam ate that they fell. It wasn't until Adam ate that they fell. It wasn't until Adam ate that they both fell. All he had to do is repent on her behalf. 1 Corinthians 7:14, the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband. Before we go blaming, all we had to do is repent on behalf of our spouse and cover her. He could have covered her. But he didn't. I know, it's mind-blowing. Think about that in our marriages. One of them stumbles and all we've got to do is repent and cover them. Cover them. And instead, we're looking for the nearest exit. Back to the tale of two Adams. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. There's only two races on the planet. Think about that. Adam and Jesus. Those are the only two races. Why? Because they're only two born of the Spirit of God, not with an earthly father. Two races. Put that one on Twitter. See how that goes. I think I will. I hate how the media and everybody tries to stir up so much racial tension. You want racial tension, it's Adam versus Jesus. Boy, the Spirit of God is speaking to us this morning. It's just coming out. So if you're born once, you're in Adam. If you're born twice, you're in Christ. There you go. Two races. John 3:7, Jesus said, you must be born again. Why? Because you got born into sin. That was Adam. Romans 5. You got to be born out of it through Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Well, that's so powerful. I don't want you feeling the effects of Adam more than you feel the effects of Christ. Because he says, that's why I said underline it in your Bible, he said, how much more? How much more? Man, how many born-again, Spirit-filled, Christ-filled believers feel the effects of Adam still way more than they do the effects of Christ? It's because we won't believe. It's because we won't believe. We believe helped our unbelief. People, there's too many. Why do we feel the effects of Adam way more than Christ? The reason is because we try so hard to reign in life through self-righteousness instead of Christ's righteousness. That's how you reign. You don't reign through yourself. You reign through Christ, the abundant grace of God, and the free gift of righteousness. That's how you reign. So if you stumble, what do? Get up. Proverbs 24:16, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Look at Romans 10:3-4. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, he's literally saying God has supplied a right standing with himself. Which makes sense. Only God could be holy enough to supply what would be required. Human pride and ego so gets in the way. If we just pause and think about it, only God could supply the righteousness. It's the only offer we were ever going to have. So ignorant of that righteousness, they seek to establish their own. And because of it, they've not submitted to the righteousness of God. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So what do we do in order to be right with God? You submit to it. You submit. You got to acknowledge this cash, this $1 million cash on the stage. You got to acknowledge your need of it. Because pride will sit there and say, well, I'm good. Humility will get up and come kneel and receive and submit to what God has made available. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. All he's saying is there's no more performing for righteousness. It's not based on your ability to keep the rules. This righteousness is free through Jesus Christ. So we submit to it. We awaken to it every day. We awaken to righteousness. That's what this series is. You want to improve your behavior. You want to break bad habits. Elevate your belief over your behavior. Stop trying to change or stop doing something and start believing the Word of God. Oh, that's powerful. The idea that your behavior determines your identity. or your righteousness is so crippling to your intimacy with God. Right? When I'm looking to myself, I don't feel very close to God. And if you do, you're really in trouble. I mean, if you're looking to your own behavior and you're like, man, I'm amazing. God deserves somebody like me. I'm not standing next to you. Cause hey, this is New Testament scripture. Whoever exalts himself, right, will be humbled. Your job is to humble yourself. It's God's job to exalt you. So if you take his job and you exalt yourself, he'll take your job and humble you. Well, that's good. Does our behavior matter? Of course it does. But our behavior doesn't change the truth. A bird doesn't become a bird when it starts flying. A bird is a bird at its new birth. It is a bird. You are righteous at the new birth. Aren't you glad God doesn't wait to call you righteous until you start living like that? He calls you righteous on the front end. Why? Because he can see your end from the beginning. Yeah, he does. He knows your end from your beginning. So he calls you righteous at your birth. He doesn't wait till you start performing righteously. Say, oh, now you're righteous. That would be self-based righteousness. That would be pride. That would be ego. Gavin, you guys can come. Boy, I love it. God doesn't wait to call you a new creation. Once you start acting like one, he calls you a new creation at your second birth. Just like we would with a bird. Hey, is an apple tree still an apple tree even if there's no apples on it? Or do you wait till, oh, I see apples now. Okay, you're an apple tree. It was an apple tree the whole time. It just took a period of time for what is inside that tree to show up on the outside of that tree. That is sanctification. This is powerful. Oh, my goodness. That is so powerful. The devil says, you're not an apple tree. You're not an apple tree. There's no apples on you. Devil, it just takes time and season for all that's already inside of this apple tree to show up on the outside of this apple tree. Amen? Everybody say, shut up, devil. Ooh, I feel that. I like that. How many of you enjoy losing? Anybody? We don't. Human beings don't like being dominated. Why? Because you were designed, Romans 5, for ruling and reigning. Let me take you back to your beginning. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said, hey, be fruitful, increase, fill the earth, and what? Subdue. Subdue. Reign in life. Don't be subdued. We don't like to be overtaken. We don't like to lose. We want to subdue those things that try to steer us off course. There's nothing that excites the leaders here in this church more than seeing you all overcoming and subduing. But you're not going to do it through self-effort. You're going to do it by believing the truth. And I'm going to show you that. There's a scripture that says sanctification, the process through which we become more and more like Christ. The process through which what's inside of us shows up outside of us happens through the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. Sanctification happens. We start overcoming. We start subduing by believing the truth. We want to see you break free from your past. We want to see you break free from addiction. We want to see you break free from the flesh. We want to see you break free from depression. All those things. Depression is not your master. You're a child of God. You're a house fit for a king. And he as a king has authority and rule in and through you over depression. Or anything else that can be named. Will you stand with me? Woo, amen. Somebody give God praise in this house. Oh my goodness. You got a word? All right. Boy, that's powerful. All right, well. Do your best.
Okay. It says, wake up to who you are. You are not being made into something else. You already are.
Yeah.
You may continue to be strengthened, but you've already received the transformation.
Amen.
You may continue to be sharpened, and you may learn over time how to use all the tools you've been given, but you do already possess
Amen.
Them. Awaken to that fact. You are not a work in progress, but a completed masterpiece. And the only thing left for you to do is to discover the intricacies that are already woven into your tapestry. Discover the beauty of what has already been created in you.
That's right.
It's all there and has been there since the very moment you received me. All along, I've known the design of you. You didn't happen by accident. I didn't make things up as I went along fashioning you. Your mistakes, missteps, and so-called flaws didn't influence your creation or place stains or tears in the fabric of who you are. The only thing that influenced your design was my purpose for you.
Truth.
And here you are,
truth,
complete, equipped, and in the place and time I purposed you for. When you realize this, truly take it into your heart and nurture and grow it, fully accept it, then you will be able to be used in the way you were designed, and I will be shown powerful. Believe me and be free.
My goodness! Oh, my goodness! When did you get that? So the Holy Spirit wrote that at the beginning of this message. That's fantastic. Somebody give God praise. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I want a copy of that. I forgot to mention, we put Clay's word from last week of your value and all that's on the usher's table. Next Sunday, usher's table. Where's Rebecca? Oh, okay, even better. We'll put it on the blog. You can have it tomorrow. But I'm going to also put it on the usher's table. Hey, did you catch that? I mean, are you kidding me? This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.